Welcome to We Will Stand on the Mormon Channel from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We Will Stand is a program of faith, hope, and joy for young women around the world. In today's program, we will talk about repentance. The Savior gave us the ultimate gift when He sacrificed His life for us, making it possible to receive forgiveness and be cleansed of our sins as we repent. It's important that we learn to apply this great gift into our lives and strive to become more like the Savior every day.
Welcome to the Mormon Channel. I'm Sister Karen Ashton, and I am a member of the Young Women's General Board. And with me today, I have four beautiful young women. I've asked them if they would just quickly introduce themselves, give their name, and what year in the young women they are, and something about themselves.
My name is Emily Erdman. I'm a Laurel in Young Women's, and I love musical theater.
My name is Olivia Harkness, and I'm a mermaid, and I love to play tennis.
My name is Stephanie Acerson, and I'm a Laurel, and I love to play basketball and sing.
My name is Hannah Piper, and I'm also a Laurel, and I also love musical theater and anything to do with music.
I know that when I called each one of you and spoke with you, I was so impressed with your answers to my questions. But I want to ask a question now that I think is pretty interesting. How did you feel when I asked you to speak on the For the Strength of Youth topic of repentance? How did you feel?
I, at first, was a little disappointed. I was so excited to talk on the Mormon Channel, but repentance isn't necessarily something that I'm most excited about or most passionate, or I have all this experience that I want to share with the world with. It's kind of a scarier topic, I think.
I was a little intimidated at first, I'm not going to lie, but then I knew that this experience would strengthen my testimony about repentance and would also help me share with others what I know to be true about it.
Do you know, I think that that's a very honest response, because it's not dating, which all of us are dying to talk about, or friends or a family, which we feel like we could talk about. But it's a very serious and beautiful subject, but not one that we necessarily have a lot of positive feelings about. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that we view repentance in kind of a sober way?
Well, repentance can oftentimes seem like a scary thing and something that we feel bad about. And so I think it's hard to admit and talk about it, especially to others.
What has been your attitude about repentance in the past, Olivia?
It's a scary thing for me sometimes, because you're admitting that you sinned and you need to repent. But it's also a happy thing to look forward to, because you can repent and you can become closer to your God.
Very, very good. Okay, Stephanie, what did you think about being called to speak about repentance?
Well, honestly, at first I was pretty scared because I didn't know what I would talk about, and it's a hard subject. But
I think all of you who are listening to this program, we don't know why you pressed the button about wanting to hear about repentance, but today we hope that we can answer some of the questions that you have had. And you know from our responses and our feeling that it was an interesting topic for us to come to as well. What kind of spirit do you think brings you to want to repent of something?
It's more like you feel like you want to become better and a better person to other people around you. Like you see other examples that you want to follow, and you see a light in other people and you want that same light.
So why do you want to become better?
Because you want that joy and happiness in your life, and you don't want to be burdened down every single day with those same sins that you've had to have throughout your whole life.
What is it that you want more than anything else in this life?
I think not only do I want to return to my Heavenly Father, but I want to share my knowledge with other people. I want to shout it to the rooftops what I know, and how good it feels to be close to your Heavenly Father.
How about you, Olivia? What do you want more than anything else in the whole world?
I also want to return home to my Heavenly Father, but I also want to gain a closer relationship with Him and to be more in tune with Him and the Spirit.
What part does repentance play in that desire?
I think because during repentance, you're going to Christ. Christ wants you to come to Him. And when you go to Him, He will come to you and He will soften your heart and He will change it. And He will open that pathway between you and Him, and you'll be able to come closer to Him, and you'll feel more comfortable going to Him more often and more comfortable repenting.
So do you think that repentance is an act of faith?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Huge act definitely. Of faith.
Why do you say definitely?
Because the reason why we came to this earth was to get bodies and to learn and make mistakes. And that is part of the plan. And Heavenly Father knows that we're not perfect. And it takes that faith to recognize that and to be able to become humble and reach out and accept the love of our Savior and to repent.
So it really is the moment that you start to approach repentance or desire to repent and put into practice those things that Heavenly Father has taught you about repentance, it seems to me that you're all saying that that really is an act of faith, an act of believing that you can change, even from really difficult things. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Elder Packer, in his October 2011 celebration of 100 years of seminary, said, "It was never supposed that you would go through this life without making mistakes. Heavenly Father knew you would make mistakes. So He put in place this beautiful plan and sent His Son to do what?
To atone for our sins.
To atone for our sins. And we're all very, very tender about that. So when you feel the stirrings to repent of something that you know is wrong in your life, what is moving upon you? What's working on you?
I think the Holy Ghost and sort of just your inner desire, just like your inner good, your spirit, your desire to do good.
When you decide that you need to change, what are some of the steps that you've taken? Some of the things that you have done? Have you ever had to repent?
Yes.
I'm not going to ask for particulars, but how did you feel? What brought you to feel like you needed to make a change?
Well, sometimes knowledge is something that makes you realize you need to change. Not knowing, but then realizing what you've done.
For me, it's I want to become more like Christ. He is my number one example and the person I look up to. So when I repent, I want to become more like Him. And I want to take like the lessons I've learned and repent and have faith in Him and confess of my sins. And then He will forgive them from me.
How do you approach your Father in Heaven when you need to say you're sorry for something that you have done?
I think it's a very humble manner. I think oftentimes we sin because of pride. We think that we have a right to do something or say something or be something. And when we have to come to the Lord and say, I was wrong, it's hard. It's humbling.
It's very humbling.
And what I think is beautiful about that experience is how much love and peace you feel after you've confessed your Heavenly Father and really, truly become humble.
When I think of that experience, it brings me to my next question. Do you have to wait until you have gone through an entire repentance process before you begin to feel a change of heart?
I don't think so. When you want to change your heart, you want to become more like Christ. So through little acts of anything, not just repentance, you can be able to have a change of heart and become more like Him.
What are some of the things that you might not, I'm not saying that I want anybody here to confess to anything, but what are some of the things that aren't necessarily items that you would have to go to the bishop about, but what are some of the things that would cause you to want to change some little habits or something that might be a problem?
I think gossiping is a big one. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to get caught up in.
Right.
I think also lying is a big one, because sometimes it's just a small little lies that people do and they don't really realize that they're doing them. And so it's not like a big one you need to go to the bishop for, but it's still a big one that you need to notice and change.
Or just like little daily things, like maybe not obeying your mother the first time or not speaking kindly to your brother. Little things you can work on daily to continue to repent.
Those are so good because they're so normal. Those are really internal kinds of items. So much of what is so beautiful about repentance is that it's happening where no one else can really see it. And it's changing us on the inside. Don't you think so?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do you start to feel when you begin to make the change? Or when you finally realize that you have made a change?
I think you start seeing the people around you and you don't judge, and you have the love of the Savior with you, and you are becoming more like our Savior.
So you were saying that you wanted to develop characteristics like the Savior, and you're saying that repentance caused you to move from these feelings that were all towards you, towards other people. Is there a connection with repentance and characteristics such as compassion or patience? What do you see in that?
Well, when you repent, because it is such a humbling experience and you're going through so many things and you're just working with the Lord so much, and you build such a strong relationship with Him, and in turn, you become Christ-like because you're working with Him. You want your views and ideas to be the same as His.
You've kind of submitted yourself to His, to Him.
Yeah.
You're trying to do whatever He would want you to do. What about forgiving other people when you have gone through the repentance process?
It's definitely a hard thing, but the Lord wants us to forgive everyone.
Yeah. And if you've had to be forgiven of something, how does that change how you feel about other people?
You understand more. If they did something to you, you understand you've been there.
Yeah, you have been there. What about the attribute of patience? How would repenting help you develop the attribute of patience?
In order to repent, you need to have patience in yourself and with the Lord that He will forgive you of your sins, and also patience with other people. People coming to you to ask for forgiveness because you know it's not easy, and it's not easy to repent.
Can you think of any stories, just really briefly, any stories in the scriptures that have to deal with someone who repented?
I think one of my favorite stories is Jonah and the whale. The Lord commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh and to have them repent, and but instead Jonah didn't. He was too afraid because it was a pretty tough city to go to, and so he ran away, and he ended up getting eaten by a whale.
But, I hope nobody has anything happening to them.
Big repentance process.
Yeah, pretty intense repentance process, and he was able to get out of the whale, and he went to Nineveh, and they did repent. So the Lord blessed him when Jonah obeyed.
Great. Any other stories you can think of?
I like Alma the Younger because he's a great example towards us as teenagers, because he sinned, but he was able to get back to where he was. And I think it's a great example for girls or guys who sin and they don't feel like they can get back, but they can always get back because God knows we're not perfect and He knows that we'll always make mistakes. And so through repentance, we can be able to get back to Him.
Wonderful. Any others you can think of?
One of my favorites is the story of King Lamoni, because once he gained the knowledge and realized that what he was doing wrong and repented of that, he fully gave his heart over to the Lord and lived an exemplary life.
Yeah. Anybody else you can think of?
I liked Joseph in Egypt's story and how his brothers sinned a ton and they sold him into Egypt. And later, when he was second highest in the kingdom, his brothers came back and asked him for forgiveness when they realized who he was. Then they were very sorry.
I think that really is the connection. It shows a connection between someone who's close to the Lord and their ability to forgive other people. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Those are wonderful stories. We've talked about those problems that are envy and jealousy and gossiping and, you know, maybe those little things that happen internally that don't cause us to have to go to the bishop. But there are things that are much heavier and much darker. And now I'm going to introduce someone that no one out there knew was here. We have sitting around the table with us a bishop, Bishop Gregory Piper. And we have asked him to come today so that he can answer some questions about what to do when what we've become involved with is very serious. Maybe what to do when we've become involved with something that may not make it possible for us to go to the temple, to continue to make covenants there. So these are serious things. Bishop Piper, we're going to ask you the tough questions. There may be someone today who is listening who's so embarrassed about something that has happened that they participated in, or feel that they cannot tell anyone or go to anyone because they don't know how to hardly speak about it. It's been so hard and they're suffering with guilt. Can you tell us how you would encourage them to come to their bishop and how their bishop would feel about them?
I think it's important to remember that the Savior is so kind and so merciful, and your bishop feels the mercy and love that the Savior has for you. And I don't believe there's anything that you can tell your bishop that perhaps he hasn't heard before. I think you'll find that your bishop feels the kind of love that the Savior has for you. He feels that for you. And that's one of the blessings of a bishop, to have that kind of compassion for you. What's interesting is that Satan doesn't want you to repent. He wants to keep you from talking to your bishop and working out those kinds of things.
Can I say something here about
sure.
that? Because, you know, I think Satan is really pretty two-faced. Before you do anything wrong, he's full of, oh, don't worry about that. Everybody does that. It's not a problem, and it certainly can't be a sin, not much of a sin anyway. So he encourages you along the way to doing something, and then when you do it, he makes you feel as though you can never look someone straight in the eye again. Isn't that true?
It's true. He doesn't want you to repent. He wants you to continue to be miserable. He wants you to have doubts about yourself. In fact, he wants you to feel like you can't come back, that what you've done is so terrible that there's not a way back. And it's just not true. It's a lie. It's a lie that he tells you and tells everyone. The Savior is so merciful and kind. Now, he's sorry and feels badly when you do things that are contrary to the commandments or do things that cause you to be not morally clean. But his desire is for you to repent and change. He wants you to come back. I was in sacrament meeting just this last Sunday. I was thinking about the fact that the Savior knows us personally because he suffered for each one of us personally. And because of that, no matter what you've done, he wants you to come back. And the bishop often is that person that can help you in that process of coming back.
Do you think that when you have repented, that you forget what it is that happened?
you don't always forget what you've done, but the pain of what you've done is swallowed up in the power of the atonement. Sometimes we remember those things that we've done so we don't do them again.
One of the young women here used Alma the Younger as her example. Olivia, did Alma forget what he had done?
No, because he needed to know what he did so he wouldn't do it again. He wouldn't repeat the sin again.
And he uses it to do what for other young people? He has a young son. This is tough because I'm asking some questions. He has a young son named Corianton who, does anybody know what Corianton does?
He's a missionary, isn't he? And while he's on his mission, he gets involved with a woman and sins. But then his father talks to him and he repents and he returns to his mission.
So Olivia is exactly right. He uses that lesson in his life to bless the lives of many people. Do you think that happens, Bishop, sometimes in that repentance process?
That people are able to recall,
help others
because of they've had that challenge of having to come back from a place of being in sin or doing things that are offensive to the Spirit. Absolutely. In fact, we all have our challenges. We all have to struggle with things. We all fall short of the glory of God. Bishops are no different than that. And we understand that the whole plan of salvation took into account that we'd all make mistakes. And we all need the mercy of our Savior. And we all need that ability to repent of our sins. I think you'll find that your bishop will greet you with love and warmth and a willingness to work with you and to help you get through what you're struggling with. I also think you'll find that your bishop, that you'll be able to unload the burden that you've been carrying. The Savior said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden,
and I will give you rest.
And I will give you rest. And the bishop is one of those especially appointed representatives of the Savior to help you through that process.
As I look at this beautiful group of young women, and as we finish today, a very beautiful and sensitive topic, and one that the Lord rejoices in when we understand. Now I'm going to ask you a very sensitive question. Hannah, how do you feel about the Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done to make it possible for you to repent?
When I think of what the Savior has done for me, I just get an overwhelming feeling of love, and I just know that with him, I can accomplish anything because he gives me the strength I need daily, and I know that he is with me through the good times and the bad times, and that our Savior loves each and one, every one of us so much, and that he is the Son of our Heavenly Father, and I'm so grateful for the atonement and how it's blessed my life so much.
If you had one tiny thing you could say to that young woman who is out there right now listening to this topic, what would you say very quickly?
For me, I think it'd be the Lord knows. He knows exactly what you've done, and he already knows how you're feeling, and all he wants to do is take that pain away for you and just help you to get back right on track and get going again. And it's so much easier to know that he knows and just to work with him and go along with him, and the rewards are so much greater.
The Lord is always with you. He wants you to repent, and he wants you to come back home. And through repentance, that is possible, and he has given you this gift so that you may be able to repent and come back home, because all he wants is for us to all return home.
And I would just like to say that even if you're scared to repent, there's many great examples in the scripture, especially Alma the Younger. And what I've been thinking about is that he sinned and he was a not very good man, and but he wanted to repent, and he became one of the greatest missionaries. And so many of these people became great, and you can become become great too.
I've got a scripture to share with you for the very end of this, a scripture that has brought a lot of peace to me and a lot of hope to me, because I, like you, more than anything else in my life, want to return to my Father in heaven. This scripture is found in section 93 of the Doctrine and Covenants, verse 1. Verily, thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass that every soul who forsaketh his sins and cometh unto me and calleth on my name and obeyeth my voice and keepeth my commandments shall see my face and know that I am. Thank you for being with us today. May this program be a blessing in your life, and may you understand the glorious concept of repentance.
You've been listening to We Will Stand on the Mormon Channel from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Join us each week as young women from around the world share their hopes, struggles, and triumphs. Remember, you can take us with you anywhere by downloading this program at mormonchannel.org.